Hello, everyone. Welcome to Freedom's Way Ministries and Spirit Mind Body Connection. My name is Gretchen, and I'll be leading our teaching this evening. I want to welcome each and every one of you who are joining us tonight. And just for the record, so to speak, just for anyone who is listening to this call on the internet or a streaming app, just keep in mind that this is a live teleconferencing ministry. We meet together every weekday morning at 7:15 and every Monday and Friday evening for teachings and ministries at this number, which is 605-475-2090, followed by the access code 373-363 with the hashtag or pound sign. And just keep in mind for easy reference, that means free me. So you can dial in and access us anytime that you'd like. I'm going to open up the line now for some okay, if anyone would like to say hi, we do have the entire line open so we can hear everything that's going on in the background. But if anyone would like to let me know you're here before we start, I certainly welcome you to do that.
Hey, Gretchen, how are you tonight?
Oh, Claudia, there's my little air hug.
Hi there.
Thank you for being here tonight.
Oh, I'm always here when I can be. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Ms. Gretchen. Thank you, Ms. Gretchen. Thank you for being there for us too,
yeah.
Thank you, Mitch. Hello, everybody.
Alice, hello.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty well. I'm grieving a little today. I lost my dad a little bit ago, and today's been a hard day. But in general, it's really good, and I'm excited about getting back into it again. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, so it's a difficult time for sure.
Yeah, but it's growing. It's a wisdom in all of it, so I'm grateful that I had the relationship I did, and I think that's just where it needs to be, is we just do our best to love everyone as we have them and find the good. Okay, so I'm just going to go ahead. I know I'm pretty long-winded. Did anyone else want to say hello before I get started with our teaching? Okay, well, I'm just going to go ahead and mute the line and respect your time. Well, Heavenly Father, I just thank you and praise you for your word. I thank you what your word has done to me, how it's changed me, and how it's continuing to change me and everyone else who's called by your name. And so in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I thank you not only that your word goes out like a plumb line, but that every unclean thing is now bound in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. There will be no intruder, interloper, deceiver, liar, or any other spirit speak to God's people. I rebuke them and put them aside in the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Praise the Lord. So tonight we're continuing our series on the doctrines of Christ, which come out of Hebrews 6, verses 1 to 3. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, and of faith towards God, of the doctrine of baptisms, and of the laying on of hands, and of the resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. So if you would like to catch up on the series, you can do that at spiritmindbodyconnection.com. But tonight we're in the doctrine of baptisms, and we're actually in our third week of it because there is more than one baptism. We talked a full week about the baptism of the blood, what it is, what it does. Essentially, the baptism in the blood of Jesus is for our spirit. Our spirit is made right before Him. It is perfect. And yet our soul and our bodies are still imperfect. So God, in His wisdom, gave us the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is for our soul. And tonight we'll be talking about the baptism in water, which is for our physical body. So, you know, we do have this threefold salvation, one for the spirit, one for the soul, and one for the body. And again, baptisms is a picture of burial and resurrection. And we need a burial and resurrection for each part of our threefold being. And God has provided that for us. And together, they serve as witnesses in the earth of our complete salvation in Jesus to the glory of the Father. Last week, Pastor Vicki covered for me, bless the Lord. And she released the baptism in the Holy Spirit, which is the gift of tongues, and talked about how there are two types of tongues, the prayer language and then that needs interpretation in the church. And those are talked about quite extensively. But tonight we're going to be talking about the baptism in water. And baptism in water is the only baptism that's performed by another person. The baptism in the Spirit is performed by the Holy Spirit. The baptism in fire for the soul is performed by Jesus. But now here is where God has called you and I up to the plate. You know, God loves to see us submit one to another. And it's very evident in that day when Adam and Eve ate from the tree. We know they died spiritually. We know their thoughts were darkened from within. And after about 930 years or so later, they died physically as well. And so our physical body needs a baptism. The last baptism has been given because since the fall of man, we have physically died from sickness, from disease, and just worn out bodies. So there's more to this baptism than is simply an outward sign of an inward work. And I just want to share something that just crossed my mind. You know, we talked about in the baptism of the blood, how that is the catalyst for deliverance, because that deals with our spirit man. And when we pray for healing from sickness and disease, we are taking, or how do I say, we are using this baptism in water as a catalyst for our prayers. It's just the most beautiful thing. You know, the baptism is a public testimony, but it's much more than that. And it's very serious. There are people that are getting killed for this public display. today out of their commitment for Christ. God bless them. You know, God wants to redeem every part of our being, and we must surrender to Him every part of our being. As we commit our whole body to the waters of baptism, God seals for us an eternal existence which knows no death or disease. So our physical body needs to be surrendered and immersed before the Lord. And it also typifies rising up in a glorified body. Now, also in this water baptism, we must submit one to another. Because the other baptisms can be completely done without any other human beings involved. By one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. The Holy Ghost convicted you, and you got born again. Jesus is the one who baptizes us with the Holy Spirit, even though another person may be the conduit through which He works. But God has chosen that another believer would be the agent to perform water baptism. And it's a beautiful thing because God is interested in the way that we relate to one another as a family. Baptism is a submitting, it's a yielding over to your members to God. And when you got saved, you yielded your life to Jesus when you received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. You yielded your soul over to the Lord. And here, in the yielding of your physical body, God incorporates yielding to one another. In this baptism, God demonstrates the family aspect of the kingdom of God, the body of Christ, by allowing water baptism to be something that we do one with another. It is a mutual submission. It requires a mutual humility. And when people are getting baptized, they trust you to pull them up and out of the water. God wants us as a family to see that this baptism into the family of God is a very important element and an important aspect of water baptism. You know, He wants to see how we relate to each other, not just to Him. And it's here that we are outwardly joined to the family of God, and we are publicly willing to be counted as one of His own. Now, Jesus Himself modeled this pattern of humility and submission for us as He was baptized of John in the Jordan River. And we read that in Matthew 3, 13 to 16. Then comes Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of you, and come you to me? And Jesus answering said unto him, Suffer or allow it to be so now, for thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he suffered him. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This baptism has the unique ability to not only outwardly identify us with Jesus, but also with all other true believers. And it's for this reason that another believer, not God, performs it. And, you know, in some countries, if you choose to be water baptized, you are totally alienated by your natural family. You may lose your place in your family, lose your inheritance, or even your home. Isn't it wonderful that our Heavenly Father gives us a new family and an inheritance that will never be taken from us? This baptism in water positions you for your glorified body. It speaks of the hope that we have for our complete salvation and receiving of our glorified bodies. Romans 6, 3 through 5. Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For as we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Romans 8:22-23. For we know that the whole creation groans and travails in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. In the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment, we will find out how important the physical side of our being really is. At this time, the spiritual part of us is the eternal part of our being. The soul is being transformed into an eternal quality and element, but the physical body has the hope of salvation, that one day these physical bodies will take on immortality and corruption will be swallowed up by incorruption. Philippians 3:20-21. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things unto himself. 1 Corinthians 15:42-3. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption. It is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. That which is spiritual transcends that which is natural. It is not less than, it's more than. After his resurrection, Jesus demonstrated the glorified body. When he entered into the room, when they recognized him and did not, and when he even ate the fish and honey with his disciples, praise the Lord. You know, when we are water baptized, we declare, God, I give you my future for my physical body in the ages to come. And in the natural realm in which I live, I am being buried with you. And like you came out of the grave in resurrection power, so will I. Many debates have been held and even wars waged over whether or not water baptism should be performed by sprinkling or by immersion. And again, the Word of God must be our plumb line. So search the scriptures and live in what you find to be true. The most biblically sound method of water baptism is full immersion. And I believe that full immersion is what should be practiced, if at all possible. The Greek word used to form our English word baptism is bapto, and it means to immerse, to saturate, or cover over. We must be fully planted in that watery grave of baptism so that, like Jesus, we may be resurrected to walk in a new life. I mean, look at the account of the Ethiopian eunuch. He went down into the water and came up out of the water in Acts 38 and 39. It reads, and he commanded the chariot to stand still, and they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. John the Baptist baptized in Aenon near Salem because there was much water there. And this indicates that proper baptism requires enough water for immersion. And that's in John 3:23. And John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salem because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. But really the point is this: why should we hold back any part of ourselves from being fully immersed into him? I mean, remember that baptism in water or no baptism in water, whether you're sprinkled or dunked, it doesn't change your born-again experience. We talked about that with the thieves on the cross. Your spirit was saved when you were baptized in the blood of Jesus. That happened at your born-again experience, and you are going to heaven. Now, God calls us to hold nothing back as a sign of our conversion. And one final baptism which may be mentioned is called the baptism of suffering. You know, every believer determined to follow the Lord will experience this. And this baptism seems to affect the area of our souls more than any other part of us. And it brings us great increase in our walk with God. And this is the one baptism that we least want. But after salvation, it plays a huge role in bringing us into Christ-likeness. So to understand this baptism, you may want to study the following scriptures. I'm not going to take the time for that now, but please grab your pen and paper if you want to study the baptism of sufferings. Okay, we have about 12 here. It's Matthew 16, 24 and 25. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. 1 Peter 2, verse 20. Acts 9, 13 through 16. Matthew 20, 20 to 23. Philippians 1, 29. Philippians 3, verse 10. 2 Timothy 2, verse 12. 1 Peter 4, verses 16 and 19. Acts chapter 5, 40 and 41. Romans chapter 8, verse 17. And finally, 2 Thessalonians 1, 3 through 5. And if you really want to dig deeper, you'll find rich truths in studying the many three-part things in the Bible, especially the Tabernacle of Moses and the Feasts of Israel. Another threefold concept that can be related back to baptisms is that of justification, sanctification, and glorification. Justification refers to your born-again experience when your spirit is renewed unto God. Sanctification is the process going on in your soulish realm after your spirit has been saved. And glorification is what will happen in your physical body. Again, you have the biblical types and shadows of these baptisms. In the tabernacle, for example, there was the outer court where the animals were sacrificed. Blood was shed. And that's that baptism to save your spirit. And then going farther on in, there's the holy place, which equates to your soulish realm. And that was the place where there was illumination with a candlestick depicting a type of the Holy Spirit. And again, that baptism in the Holy Spirit is for your soul. And then in the deepest part of the tabernacle is the Holy of Holies, representing the complete manifestation of God. And this is what is coming to each one of us when Christ is revealed in us and through us in our glorified bodies. You know, all throughout the Bible, you can see this concept woven. I mean, look at the feasts of Israel. At Passover was the blood. At Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out. And at Tabernacles, the fulfillment of the harvest was realized. And this is the only feast that has not yet been completely fulfilled, just like we have not fully died and been resurrected. You know, Passover was fulfilled both physically and spiritually. Pentecost fulfilled both physically and spiritually. Tabernacles has been fulfilled physically in that the Israelites celebrate and enter booths representing the presence and safety of God, but we have not yet entered spiritually into that place and realized our glorified bodies complete, perfected in Him. So to summarize, the word baptism comes from the Greek word bapto, which means to be immersed, saturated, wholly covered over. The doctrine of baptisms teaches us that we were created as a threefold being, spirit, soul, and body, by the threefold God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and that He provided a baptism or a salvation for each part of our triune being. Baptism in the blood and into the body of Christ is for our spirit, and it's done by the Holy Spirit. This takes place when we become immersed in the knowledge that Jesus is our only hope of salvation, that He is the Son of God, that He died on the cross for our sins, and that He was resurrected. Baptism with the Holy Spirit is for our soul, our mind, will, emotions, and desires, and it is done by Jesus Himself. And when we allow the Holy Spirit to saturate our intellect, our souls are empowered to overcome the limitations of our own understanding and carnal nature. This is known as the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and it's different than the indwelling of the Spirit of God that takes place at salvation. Baptism in water is for our physical bodies and is done by man. All baptisms represent the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Our spirit is made alive to Christ at the time of salvation. Our soul submits to God by dying to our own understanding. And water baptism makes a public display of the victory that we have over the watery grave. Praise the Lord. So we have a little bit of extra time. So there's one area that I'd like to go over, if you can bear with me a second. And it's called the chain of command. And I just want to talk about this before we pray. You know, as a threefold being, you can distinguish each part, but know at the same time that all three parts affect each other. And in the Godhead, there is an authority structure, and it goes like this. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They all defer to each other, but there is a chain of command. And so to speak, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And this picture applies to us. Spirit, soul, body. Your spirit is supposed to be the preeminent part of your being, not your will, not your intellect, not your emotions, not your desires, and not the flesh. This morning on our morning line, one of the readings, one of the proverbs was, a man who has no rule over his own spirit is like a city with his walls broken down. I don't have that quite right, but with a city with his walls broken, just open doors, And we don't want that, you know? Your spirit, your soul, your body, your spirit should be on the throne, not your soul. And when we interface with God, then that's a spiritual thing. It's not an intellectual thing, and it's not emotional, though your emotions may be affected, but your spirit is what's touching God. And if your soul is allowed to sit on the throne, it will deceive you. In the realm of your spirit, God may be speaking to you, wooing you to a place of purpose or a place of safety, even a place of destiny. But your soul can override his nudgings and it can sidetrack you. You know, when Jesus spit in the mud, he put it on the blind man's eyes. That had to challenge his soulish realm because it does to all our natural thinking. It seems stupid. But Jesus wasn't listening to the soul. He did what the Spirit was telling him to do, and it bore the fruit. So just when your soul is allowed to sit on the throne and dictate, we can fall into agreement with a voice that is not from God and follow it. Because there is demonic activity in your soul when you are ruling from this part of your being, and you may not even realize that it's not you who is ruling your life. So in the soulish realm, when we align our thinking with stinking, you know, it can affect the spirit realm, which is how we interface with God. So your spirit can be hindered, but your spirit will never be possessed. If you're born again, your spirit belongs to God, and he is not going to give it up to a devil. It doesn't mean you can't grow in the love of God just because you're bound up. I don't know who I was saying that for, but I praise God for his truth and for having grace and patience with us as we go. So I'd just like to share a few other thoughts before I pray. And that there is many types and shadows of baptism in the Old Testament. In our morning line, we're like going through Deuteronomy and some of these Old Testaments. And when we see the different washings and we see how the high priest would have his priests like be set apart and then they would do washings, the washing of the hands and the laver, all these things are points and shadows of one of these several baptisms. So keep your spiritual eyes open as you read. And again, we're happy to have you join us every weekday morning, same number, 7:15. So Father, let us pray. Father, there is no one like you. No one, God, can do what you do. No one can put it all together so completely that when we see all that you've done, we can see the wheel within the wheel, full of eyes within the wheel. You are amazing, God. And I just thank you for the truth that though we may be buffeted in this world, that there is nothing that can separate us from the love that you have for us in Christ Jesus. And Father, I just stand in the gap for myself and for my generations and for everyone in the sound of my voice, for us fearing death and fearing what man can do. For you said in the red letters, why fear what man can do unto you? They have no rule over the Spirit that you have given us. Precious Spirit. Lord, I pray for a mighty infilling of your Holy Spirit that we would see that even the doctrine of foot washing requires us to clean the crap off each other in our daily walk in this world, because it's not great some days. But you, Lord, you give us wisdom and knowledge, and I just repent for that fear of death and even the loss, Lord. I rejoice in the death of your saints, even Earl, that he is with you. For you're not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for they are alive in you. Praise God. And I loose the Holy Spirit to, if I by the finger of God cast out devils, know this, the kingdom of God is come unto you. Be loosed now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth from any hindering thing in your spirit, in your soul, and in your body. And Father, I just breathe on your people and say, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Walk where I walk and go where I send you. For I have baptized you with power, and you can go and do and see all that I have for you, my beloved ones whom I have called. Rejoice with me in the dance, for I am yours and you are mine, and I have given you to each other. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I'm just going to open the line after that. Give me a second. Okay, so if anyone would like to make a comment or a question, we have plenty of time. I didn't go over this time, but God bless you. Star 6 to be heard. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Sar Shalom. And Lord, I thank you that you did not give any of us a spirit of fear. I thank you, Father, of all the saints that have gone before me that have walked in your Holy Spirit power with purity and purpose. I thank you for knowing and meeting and talking to Pastor Casper McLeod, who was raised from the dead. I know, Lord, that you can move mountains, and I just impart unto your people the gift of faith that can move mountains, that they can skip like little lambs and like rams. Father, I just ask you, you would just protect your people, cover them in love, and just shine through every broken place till it's broken no more. Praise the Lord. I hear somebody in the background.
Yes, I was going to say I've been just two foot washing, and oh my goodness, they were. It was just incredible how God showed up at both of those. Yeah.
It's not something that I've ever seen in a congregation or in a big group. Like, I had one guy come. It was
Yeah,
I couldn't imagine.
It was like a ladies' group.
That whole, yeah. Go ahead.
And then at Reggie, one time he came home and he said, we did the most unusual thing, and that he had never done it before. So it was very touching for the men, too. So I thought that was interesting. So, but yeah, it was. Well, thank you for tonight.
You're very welcome. Yeah, I was listening to another little sermon. This guy was showing how the foot washing that Jesus did was a whole mm-hmm. picture of, you know, laying down his life, laying down his heavenly life to come here, being naked, taking on the towel, and just as he went through, how he just took on everybody's sin and dirt onto himself and was able to separate
wow.
from it. I mean, it was just the most beautiful teaching. And there's just this, the word is so rich. And I think it's true. We can find these doctrines in every story if we would look.
Yes.
The word's amazing.
Yes.
Well, thank you for speaking up.
Oh, thank you. Good night. I have to leave early in the morning, so I'm going to sign off. And God bless everybody. Thank you.
Okay, good night.
Good night.
Any other comments or questions? It's star 6. So next week, we'll be talking about the laying on of hands, that doctrine. So please join us, 8:30 p.m. Eastern, 605-475-2090, followed by Free Me with the hashtag. Thank you again, and good night.